Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
I'm going to share the word of God for a few minutes and I'll be out of your face. You see, Christmas is the most celebrated holiday in the world. I would normally say arguably, but I think it's the most celebrated holiday in the world. And how is it that Christmas, a Christian celebration, is so widely accepted? I started talking about it in passing on Wednesday, and I said, one simple answer is storytelling. Storytelling. And storytelling has its pros and its cons. So the way the Christmas story is presented in a way that everybody's interested in it. First and foremost, it's about a child that was born, and everybody likes babies. You know what I mean, don't you? So there is something about a baby being born that makes it so cute and so fascinating to everyone. And then the second thing is that, and again, there are pros and cons to this, we've found a way to numb down the story in a way that the bottom lines are acceptable to everyone. So when we make it about holiday and we make it about being kind to people, everyone is interested in that. And so the result of that is, you see many people and many nations that are not open to the doctrine of Christianity, open to Christmas. And that's a fascination in and of itself. I will tell you the challenges that it poses. Very simple. Of course, we have the tendency for many people to just celebrate Christmas as an idea and reject Christ. Someone put it this way, and it's very brilliant. He said, everybody likes Christ until you define him. Very profound. You know, I was talking about this 2 years ago, and I think I saw, and someone made a comment about this, the most expensive Christmas tree in the world cost about $11 million. And that's not even the funny part. Would you like to know where it was set up? In Abu Dhabi. Yes, the most expensive Christmas tree in the world. So literally, there are places that are not open to the preaching of the gospel that are open to Christmas. There are places that celebrate Christmas that if you convert to Christianity, you'll be killed. Pros and cons, I tell you. Is there any net positive to this? I think so. Especially when you consider the fact that the devil has used the same technique against the church. Many times, and some of you don't even know about it. Storytelling has successfully made some of you fans of demons without knowing it. I'll give you a simple example. Those of you who are fans of superheroes, what is the real name of Superman? Spoiler, I'm going to spoil some things for you now. What's the real name of Superman? Kal-El, right? Mention the names of the angels that you know. Hold on. Gabriel? Huh? Michael? Hold on, we're headed somewhere. I wish I was joking. This is not a joke. So his name is Kal-El. And angels are called Gabriel, Michael. Angels typically have L at the back of their name. And how does the story of Superman start? He falls to the ground, right? I hate to break it to you that Superman is actually a fallen angel. And angels in the Bible have superhuman strength. If angels walked amongst us, they'll be able to do everything that Superman does and more. So now, somebody thought about this, that there is no way we can get these people to be fans of demons. So here is what we're going to do. We're going to whitewash the story with good storytelling, and they'll be cheering for it. Now, first and foremost, I like good stories. I like good movies. Do you understand? And for stories like Superman, I would just do cross and watch it. But I want you to understand that this is a big deal. And for the Christian creatives around us, this is a challenge to you, because understand this. Some had to rely on either just literal fiction to tell us stories, fun stories about superheroes, or they had to draw from satanic textbooks. You know, I was teasing you on Wednesday. You don't like Shango, but you like Thor. That's storytelling there. That's storytelling. Hi. You're not ready for this conversation. You see, they have caught you, Avi. What is the difference? Are you getting what I'm saying? If someone made a good movie about Samson, I'm going to watch it. And he's going to look like a superhero of the mighty men of David. Are you getting what I'm saying? All the benders, we have them in the Bible. Fire bender Elijah, water bender Moses. Hey, all of them. All of them. All of them. And so, in our defense, a lot of good, you know, Christian storytellers have used this technique. Many of you did not know, what's the name of this movie by C.S. Lewis? Chronicles of Narnia. Many of you did not know that it was faith-based. The one that surprised me recently, I did not know that Home Alone was faith-based. Did you see that video expose? That there was a man who had an injury in his wrist, an old man. And he saw him at the beginning, looked at the injury and was like, ah. And he later saw that same man in the church. You know, subtle, sprinkle, sprinkle, I'll take it. So I like good storytelling. And so Christmas has been a victim of storytelling. And somehow we've made it about a man in a red suit who clearly has not been going to the gym. Saying that respectfully, you know, that promises your children that if they are happy and nice, he's going to come down through the chimney and give them gifts. And honestly, I don't mind it as long as it's a conversation starter and you can seize the opportunity to point people to who it truly is about. And so you have to know the material well enough to preach it to everyone. Christmas is a conversation starter. Point everyone to Jesus. Come on, are you listening to what I'm saying? And you have to know the material. See the loopholes of the storytelling. So there are three different kinds of storytelling. There is fiction, you know, that is just purely imaginative. And then there is semi-fiction, all right? In fact, some people tell true accounts in a semi-fiction way, like they imagine conversations that they were never privy to. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there are some stories that are a combination of the two. And then, of course, you have true life story, docu-series, history, and all of that. And so in the story of Christmas, the way it is presented, not the way God intended, you see semi-fiction. They throw in Santa Claus in there. And you see songs talking about threshing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh that has nothing to do with the Bible or Jesus Christ. And some Christmas songs get it right. And maybe you look at the Christmas cards and you see three wise men. First and foremost, they were not three. Are you listening to me? And I don't even have to go into the deep theology of why they couldn't have been three. All I will tell you is this. You don't carry gold in those days and walk for days to go and look for somebody and arrive safely. Try it in Oshodi and find out. So royalties would normally not travel alone, especially when they are bearing gifts of that kind of importance. They had aides, attendants, and security, all right? And the Bible never told us they were three. People assumed they were three because they gave three gifts. So these wise men from the East, they were Igbo guys. I'm joking. They were not Igbo guys. They were not Igbo guys. But you think I'm a bit. Who wants to act it for me? Imagine you are the wise men with thick Igbo accent. You want to try? Never mind. I would like to see a drama about that. Anyway, so they were not Igbo guys, okay? Are we on the same page? And they did not go to the manger. Didn't go to the manger. By the time they got to Jesus, Mary and Joseph were out of the manger. All the Christmas cards were wrong. You know what I'm doing? I'm trying to shine the light on the actual details right now. Thank God for the fiction and the conversations it has started with people who may never find themselves in the four walls of a church, but you yourselves must at least know the true story. And that's why it's notable that the book of Matthew starts with a genealogy. It's important. I know every time you were reading the story of Jesus, you skipped it. You thought it was a distraction. Why do you have to start in such a boring way? You know, how many of you never really got the point of genealogies? When you were, come on, why are you sounding deep? Raise your hand, my friend. How many of you skipped it most times? How many of you still skip it till now? Be honest. Thank you for your honesty. There are so many reasons the genealogy is important, especially from a Jewish lens. It's very important because whoever was going to be the Messiah had to be, number one, from the lineage of Abraham, from the lineage of David. Those two were important. So it was important for prophecy. Before you start a story to a Jewish audience, claiming that somebody is the Messiah, you must show it. That genealogy was the first important point. It was the first box to tick. But like I said on Wednesday, the genealogy also jolts you back to reality to see that this is a true story. This isn't fiction. This is a real person that existed. We know where he was born. We know who his father was. We know who his father's father was. We know we can trace his ancestry, at least in the flesh. It's a real story. Unlike Santa Claus. And even Santa Claus, there are several theories and adaptations, and there was a real person who, I don't really care. And some people come with some new revelations. Guess what? Jesus was never born December 25. And I'm like, guess what? Malaria was not discovered the day that we celebrate malaria awareness. If we pick a day to shine the light on his person, he need not be born that day. Are you getting what I'm saying? In fact, for us, Christmas is not a day. It's a living experience. It's not a holiday. I don't know if you heard that song by that great poet, "No Holiday for a Man Good Day." So all those details, I don't really care about them. One thing you can't refute as a decent, honest historian is that there was a man, a historical figure called Jesus, who did come to the earth. And there are some assumptions if you are truly going to celebrate Christmas. Number one is this: that humanity couldn't find answers in themselves. The answer for the salvation of humanity had to come from outside, not inside. I know that we have lofty ideas that if we just had all the right political leaders, then the world would be a better place. I put it to you, it will never happen. There will always be some form of oppression amongst humanity. You see, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 5, and I know Revelation chapter 5 is not specifically talking about the birth of Jesus, or so it appears. I can make an argument that it talks about the birth of Jesus Christ before it talks about the death of Jesus Christ. I believe that the first few verses of Revelation chapter 5, in prophetic language, it took at least 2,000 years. Because when the prophet first started crying out that there was none found in heaven and on earth that was worthy to look into the scroll and to open the seven seals thereof, if he says there was none found, it means Christ had not been born. Are you getting what I'm saying? In prophetic storytelling, 2,000 years can pass in few chapters. So by the time he is crying, there was none found worthy. But before he's done crying, an elder came and tapped him, "Weep not, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Not only has he come, not only did he walk the face of the earth, he has prevailed." And then he looked and he saw a lamb slain. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So this is the whole redemptive story compressed into few verses. But what I want to point out to you is this: what I want to point out to you is this. He said there was none found in heaven and earth. So there is this scroll that represents the restoration of humanity, the restoration of sanity, the restoration, the answer to evil in the world, the answer to sickness in the world, the answer to everything vile and contrary to sanity in humanity. And no man, no nation, no institution had the answer. Listen to me. If you are a Bible-believing Christian, you must believe this: that the problems of the world, we don't have the answers. I'm telling you. And make no mistake, that doesn't mean that technology cannot make life easier. Better political policies cannot make life easier. But none of them will ever prefer the final answer. And in fact, every people group, every nation that chose to kick God out, we saw the grave repercussions. The grave repercussions. You know, in my note, I was writing a few things here about some of the grievous times that humanity has seen. Like 4 million Ukrainians killed. Because of Stalin's policies, 1932 to 1933, all right? Or what is called Mao's Great Leap Forward, 1959 to 1962. 20 million deaths. Paul Roche, Cambodia, 1975 to 1979, the US Holocaust. Nearly 2 million people died under that regime. There seems to be a consistent pattern. Any people group that decides we don't need God immediately becomes God. And it gives them the liberty to do whatever. Historically, any culture that pushes God aside, now plays the role of God and demeans the value of a human life. You know, this simple political, philosophical, theological questions. If you don't believe there's a God, then what is your basis for holding on to an absolute moral law? What then determines what is right or wrong? If I like your car, what makes it wrong for me to harm you and collect it forcefully? It's not fair. Why? Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? So you need to understand how our theology will affect our daily life. As simple as the Ten Commandments are, you see those things? Very important. So we must admit we don't have the answers. And so when the angels appear to the shepherds that watch their flocks by night. Now, this is the Christmas narrative and how it really affects us. And they say, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. You must truly believe peace is not found in any other name. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not found in any governmental policy. It's not found in any tech solution. It's found in a person. Peace is a person. His name is Jesus. When Jesus was born, peace was born. Say loud, amen. Amen. And it is only a people who give glory to God in the highest that will have peace. That's the real Christmas narrative. We must admit it. We are broken. The problem of Nigeria is not just a government problem. It's not just a leadership problem. It's a sin problem. It's a sin problem. When you see someone take money meant for his constituency and instead buys 300 houses abroad that he may never live in any of them. And because of that, people in abject poverty are dying and he does not care. That is not just a leadership problem, it's a sin problem. And guess what? If we are being honest, it is convenient to just look at the leaders. We see it every day on the streets. There's a reason you have to look twice when you're holding your iPhone. Because the corruption that is up there is also around us. It's a sin problem. If you doubt it, close your eyes and pick anybody in your neighborhood at random. Make him local government chairman. So the answer is not just in politics. The answer is not in just innovative solutions, because every time we got more brilliant, we got more wicked. We are devising ways to kill people faster and more efficiently. That is the race of tech right now in many countries. I hope you know. How can we make it faster and more efficient? That's what many of us are using intelligence for. Go and read the story of the race of many countries to master the atomic bomb before others. Like, the invention of the atomic bomb changed the world as we know it, redefined the definition of world power. If you were left behind when your mates were perfecting it. Science is powerful. We grew up learning that matter can neither be created nor destroyed. And somebody say, don't worry. Where's your village? Let's drop something and that village won't matter anymore. I go live for you. Thank you very much. Perfected wickedness. If you want to date now, you have to check birth certificate. Because we have devised brilliant ways. You're very beautiful, but why your voice deep like that? This. This is your Adam apple sharp. Bro, talk to me. Bro to bro. We have imagined vain things, invented funny things. Everything is harder now. Sex is powered by batteries. You don't know. See, we did where it was quiet. Hallelujah. And so I don't know. The more brilliant we get, the more wickedness we perpetrate. We must admit we need a savior. We really do. We really do. We really do. And the kind of saving you think we need will determine how accurate your assessment of the problem is. If you think the problem is something on the streets, like a policy, a governmental policy, or just better roads, you don't know what we're dealing with. The problem is internal. We are the ones that need the saving. It has to be internal. And so now, this is the real Christmas promise, Isaiah chapter 9. I just wanted to gist with us for a bit and drop the microphone. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing can stand. Hey, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. My sin was great, your love was greater. What can separate us? What a powerful name, come on. What? Yeah, you are a powerful name. The name of Jesus Christ our King. What a yeah. What a powerful name. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 9 from verse 2. Thank you, Jesus. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. This is the Christmas story. It is not just Christmas lights. It is the real light that lights everyone who comes to the world. Are you listening to me? Is this your story? It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. It says, and those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Oh, glory to God. Some of us can testify, this is the story of my life. I was in darkness. He translated me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Listen, it is not just about light being put on a tree. It's about light entering into my life. This is the true Christmas light. This is the true Christmas story. I was broken. I couldn't fix myself. I couldn't mend myself. I looked to different strategies. They were not good enough, but light entered me. I was translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You know, providentially, especially in the European nations, Christmas comes after the darkest time of the year. Providential. He is the light of the world. Kai, anyone who receives him will not walk in darkness. Are you listening to me? His light is what we need, though. His light. I've seen brilliant people be more wicked when they get into power. And that's why you must not allow anyone to deceive you that the preaching of the gospel is not important. Listen to me. You know, someone was telling me he was with some powerful politicians, Muslim politicians, and he said, we have to thank the churches. He said, their teaching, this one is both a problem and, you know, but I will tell you what I'm saying. He said, their teaching has kept people sane. It has kept people saying, we have to thank the churches. Make no mistake, that doesn't mean that everyone who names the name of Christ behaves like Christ. And that's where the work of discipleship comes in. But if there is anyone whose life has been genuinely changed by this light that I'm talking about, I want to hear it from your shouting. It has changed my life, changed my life, changed my life. Listen, I know it's hard for you to picture, but I used to be a very angry person. Anger. Some of you know what I'm saying. Stony heart like this. Connected, you know? I know somebody who knows how to take a stony heart, make it a heart of flesh. This is the true Christmas story. Just worship him. I give you a few seconds. Worship him. Worship him. Thank him. Glory to God in the highest. And peace on earth. Because of what he's done. For those who have faith in him. God is not angry at you. He has reconciled us to the Father. Peace on earth. God and sinners are now reconciled. That's the Christmas story. Thank you. Thank him. Thank him. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Look at verse 5 of Isaiah 9. I'm doing this on purpose because many times we just rush to verse 6. Verse 5. He said, every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle. He says, and their garments rolled with blood. He says, will be used for the burning and the fuel of fire. Everything that used to be weapons will now be fuel for fire. It's not needed anymore because of this Messiah. The warrior's sandal from their noisy battle, the garments rolled in blood you've been fighting. He said, now put it in the fire. It's not needed anymore. And he tells us why. Verse 6. For unto us. Listen to me. I believe with all my heart that this is truly the answer for the world's trouble. For unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. Meaning he became a child one day, but he came as a son. That's core theology right there. It's the eternal son, okay? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So much to unpack here, but for time's sake, look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government. So you have to understand, we are not talking about something that takes its bearing only in church, relevant only for church liturgy. We are talking about something that is the answer to governments, the answer to nations. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Say loud, amen. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forevermore. It says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Because Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Sing it loud if you believe it. Come on, sing. For the world. Oh, above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Oh, Jesus is the answer for the world. Yes, oh, above him there's no other. Hallelujah. A world without Jesus will self-destruct, I tell you. There are problems everywhere. Insecurities in the north of Nigeria, school shooting. You see, let me tell you something. There's one of us here, all her life in Nigeria, she never experienced any traumatic encounter. As she went to the US like this, her first month at work as a school teacher, there was a school shooting. Just imagine her having to scamper, protect as many children as possible, hiding. It took months of counseling to recover. So you have to understand, I know that the case of Nigeria is peculiar, is a spiritual problem. Don't let anyone deceive you. But it's a problem everywhere. Everywhere. There is something wrong with mankind, I'm telling you. And when we experience power, we see it as an avenue to oppress others. The kind of wickedness happening. I mean, what kind of normal human being will decide it's a brilliant idea to go, of all places, to a school where children are and just open fire? You are not trying to steal money? Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? I'm explaining and exposing, you know, the level of decay and wickedness. And you just open fire on kids. No end goal but wickedness. It's not like there's a child of some old rival or anything. Nothing. Just wickedness. Sheer wickedness. And you know, to go to the most vulnerable place. Ah. Spirits are behind these ideologies. Check what is happening in the north. Wickedness, unimaginable wickedness. To see a pregnant woman cut her open. We will keep fighting for a better nation with advocacy and all of that. But understand this, at the core, we need Jesus. Are you listening to me? We need Jesus. Tell the world about him. Preach about him every opportunity you get. Tell the world. Tell the story from the beginning that this is where it all began, in the Garden of Eden. That is how sin entered the world. That is how every wickedness entered into the world. And now this is where the true Christmas story started. That God promised. He said, I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. He says, and listen, if you know the God of the Bible, you know that all his words are chosen carefully. He knows biology. He created biology. So why did he say the seed of the woman? In procreation, it is not the woman that produces seed. The woman receives and nurses it, right? But he said the seed of the woman, prophetically intimating the virgin birth. Are you getting what I'm saying here? It was a prophetic intimation of the virgin birth. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And listen, the scripture said, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, and he shall bruise his heel. So it means that the serpent will injure the seed of the woman, but not in a devastating way. But the seed of the woman will deal a devastating blow to the serpent. When you understand this, you understand what happened on the cross. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? That Jesus died, but it wasn't devastating. He rose again the third day, and his resurrection dealt a final blow to the enemy. All of this was prophesied right from the very beginning. And you see, like I've taught you several times before, theologians call this text the protevangelion, meaning the first presentation of the gospel. That is where you first know the kind of death that the Messiah will die. That the Savior will not come as a political savior, as an economic savior. It will be at the expense, quote and unquote, of his well-being. But through that suffering, he'll be a suffering Messiah. But that suffering will deal a devastating blow to the serpent. Okay? Right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And then David and all the other prophets continue the prophecy. I've taught you Psalm chapter 2. Very prophetic text. I think we can run through this and then we'll be done. Let's run through it. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. It says, why do the nations rage and people imagine a vain thing? It says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heaven shall laugh, and he will hold them in derision. You know, I've told you how providential and prophetic this is. That thousands of years before Joseph and Mary even existed, before they fell in love and decided to enter a relationship, God already foresaw that the nations will be raging against his Messiah. And he laughed about it. So this is to tell you how properly planned the salvation plan is. Amen? He says, then he will speak to them in his wrath and distress them in deep displeasure. Verse 6, yet I have set my king on the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today have I begotten you. If you read Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 2, you see how this phraseology was interpreted and understood. This prophecy was fulfilled upon the resurrection of Christ. You are following me, right?
Yes,
verse 8, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the end of the earth for your possession. This, again, is talking about the rich, R-E-A-C-H, that the resurrected Christ is going to have. So this was fulfilled when he said, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Follow this closely. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them into pieces like a potter. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now, look at verse 12 and see. Think deeply about this, if this is a presentation of the gospel or not. It says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Now, because you're reading this in 2025, you don't understand what is happening there. But in those days, royalty would have a signet ring and they would stretch it. Part of your acknowledgement of their kingship was to kiss that ring. So he's saying, kiss the Son. The Son is Lord. Oh my God. This Son that they will try to kill, but I will give him all the nations as his inheritance. Pay obeisance to him. Pay respect to him. Honor him. Lest he be angry and you perish in your way. That's the story of the gospel. And he said, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Any such person in this place? The message of Christmas is the message of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And everyone who receives him has received light into their life. And I believe that it is that light that we first receive that empowers us to change nations. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? You are the answer the world is looking for. The more people you have filled with the light of Jesus, the less wickedness you see in the world. This is the message of the gospel. I want to give you a few minutes. Just worship him. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Thank him for what he has done. Thank him. Thank him. You have just a few minutes. Do it passionately. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes this heart adore you. Oh, for the life spent with light of the world. He is the light of the world. You step down, Lord. Open my eyes, yes. Let me see beauty that made. Beauty that makes this heart adore you. Oh, for the lights. Yeah. Sing, here I am. Come on, everybody. Say, here I am too. Here I am.
that you're my God. You're all together. All together. Yes, oh, oh. Kyle, wonderful. Sister W, sent here I am.
I want to hear you sing it loud. Say, yeah. You paid a debt you did not owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. Hey, oh, Papa. Dara, help me sing it. Sister W, sing, I'll never know, sing. Christmas is for worship. Take this moment, one more time, sing, I'll never.
How much it costs to see my every single.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, it's a vital sign. It shows the health of your spirit. If I say thank God for blessing you this year, you'll be loud. But if I say thank God that He came to seek and save you, only sanctified people, only people from whose face the veil has been taken away, can respond to the degree that they ought to. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.